The Oscar-nominated film, The Artist, plays around with a story that's more than familiar. It's practically a Hollywood obsession. In the film, a young nobody and a big star collide. In the course of the story, their positions shift, and the nobody is transformed into a huge star whose fame eclipses that of the former star, who now slides into a downward spiral.
That's an easy story to tell, and I think everybody wants to see stars brought low.
Film critic and author Daniel Egan says this story happened to a lot of actual film people. That's why movies are so apt to repeat it over and over. In 1932, the movie What Price Hollywood more or less defined the form. Constance Bennett is an ambitious waitress who is helped by a big-time director who drinks.
What's pretty go like you do around here?
We ain't meet a big director like you.
And that supposedly was based on Barbara Stanwyck and Frank Fay. Frank Fay was a Broadway personality who brought Barbara out to Hollywood and got her first screen test. And then his career just really foundered, whereas Barbara Stanwyck became the highest paid actress in the world.
Sound familiar?
You know what your chances are? 1 in 100,000.
Maybe you recognize it from A Star is Born, the one from 1937, with Janet Gaynor coming up.
But maybe I'm that one.
And Frederick March as big shot Norman Maine, mentor right. On the way down. The story gets darker and darker as it goes on.
He really wants to stop drinking.
She climbs. He falls.
Well, perhaps if he could start working again, there would be some encouragement.
She manipulates the situation by trying to get him work. He resents it bitterly and sees it as a horrible betrayal.
Oliver, could you?
Which is really what puts the egotistical lover into a tailspin.
But he mustn't ever know I told you.
He won't know, and you mustn't worry. I want you to keep up.
The best-known Star is Born was the remake with Judy Garland from 1954, in which James Mason meets his demise as the self-destructive alcoholic Norman Maine. And the bad behavior of the falling star is part of it.
Congratulations, my dear. I made it just in time tonight.
Hence this embarrassing scene at the Academy Awards.
I made a lot of money for you, gentlemen, in my time through the years, haven't I?
It's a kind of punishment.
I think viewers really enjoy seeing them be punished because they're so awful to their lovers. James Mason is an awful person to Judy Garland. Frederick March is an awful person to Janet Gaynor.
Well, I need a job now. Yeah, that's it. That's the speech. I need a job.
Sometimes the films have echoed in not so subtle ways the lives of the stars who are in them.
Take it from the top.
From the top?
Yeah.
In the 1954 Star is Born, it worked in reverse. In the movie, Garland played the young star on the rise, but anyone could see that wasn't quite true to life.
Judy Garland at that time was in decline. She'd been let go by MGM. She was struggling. This was her first film in 3 years. Whereas James Mason was on the rise in Hollywood. He was still an unknown character. He still hadn't established himself. So basically, Judy is playing a role that she should have been playing 20 years earlier.
You could even go right over to another Oscar-winning classic, All About Eve. Bette Davis begins by helping Ann Baxter.
Ann Baxter then betrays Bette Davis, and the result is Betty goes into a tailspin and Baxter becomes an award-winning actress.
You know what I feel about this age obsession of yours, and now this ridiculous attempt to whip yourself up into a jealous froth because I spent 10 minutes with a stage-struck kid.
And you could observe that Betty Davis was more or less in the same boat as her character, Margot Channing. She had aged past many roles. Not only that, but she married Gary Merrill in real life. He played her somewhat younger lover in All About Eve.
Now, how can you take offense at a kid trying in every way to be as much like her ideal as possible?
Stop calling her a kid.
The story was unstoppable.
You know, there's another film that came out right about that period, Limelight, with Charlie Chaplin and Claire Bloom, where it's a very melodramatic version of that story. He's helping her become a ballerina while he is a music hall performer.
I can't go on.
What?
My legs. I can't move.
It's nerves. Just move about.
No, I can't move. I'm paralyzed.
Pure hysteria. Stop it.
It becomes a very suicidal thing where he has to die on stage in order to justify his sacrifice of her to her art.
But there's more. Joan Didion and John Gregory Dunn wrote Star is Born number 3, set in the music business.
I want to marry you.
As Barbara Streisand goes up, Kris Kristofferson
no, you don't.
Goes down.
I drink too much.
Later, when Didion and Dunn were hired to write a movie based on the life of newswoman Jessica Savage, one thing led to another, and it turned into what Dunn called a newsroom Star Is Born, with Robert Redford as an unlikely Norman Maine named Warren Justice.
Did you ever entertain any idea you didn't get from a focus group, John?
You think I even wanted this project?
The rise and fall, manipulation and betrayals continue.
She's the one who's out there on the line, and the only reason she's out there is to give you something to do.
The more we talked about it, Daniel Egan seemed to find the story everywhere.
Well, you see it in Phantom of the Opera pretty easily, where he's manipulating her career behind the scenes and developing her into a star, and then when she discovers who he is, her disgust is a betrayal.
And Hitchcock, too.
You know, when I'm thinking about it now, isn't Vertigo sort of similar to what happens in this thing where James Stewart goes and turns a woman into the person he wants her to be with terrible results?
And even Elvis.
Born through a party in the county jail. The prison band was there, they became...
Jailhouse Rock with Elvis Presley.
We'd be a natural together. Both ex-cons. The publicity would be sensational.
He is a young person who's being groomed by an older veteran and betrays that veteran and then suffers the consequences.
Egan was still naming films when our time ran out. And don't forget the upcoming Clint Eastwood version of A Star Is Born with Beyoncé in the lead. Meanwhile, the artist has taken the story, removed the final tragedy, and found a happy Hollywood ending. If it doesn't win the Best Picture Academy Award this Sunday, it won't be because it's telling a story that is in any way unfamiliar. For WNYC, I'm Sarah Fishkin.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.